Our subject for this morning, amnesia, a gift of the Spirit. Amnesia, a gift of the Spirit. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Our Father in heaven, we ask in the name of Jesus to have mercy upon us. Lord, all the mercy you can provide, you can spare, grant it to us. We ask you, Lord, to sharpen our minds. We pray the words of the psalmist, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Lord, open our eyes this morning and put within us, Father, an iron, granite, unbendable determination to do what your word calls us to do. Father, for me, remember the words of David in 2 Samuel 23, verse 2, when he said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. Father, I ask you now in earnestness to put your word in my tongue and understanding in the minds of your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amnesia, a gift of the Spirit. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, we have what is called the Hall of Faith, with which all Christians are familiar. And in that chapter, we have some information about our father of the faithful, who is called, of course, Abraham. And we're told in verse 8 of Hebrews 11, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he would after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, the passage continues, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. The next verse says, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. For he looked. Now, however much we may try, even though we have two eyes, I have not yet met anyone who can look at two things at the same time. Now, we can catch some things with our peripheral vision. That's not the same thing. I can't look at my sister here and look at my brother over here at the same time. I can't do that. To look at him, I have to stop looking at her. Now, let's look at Abraham's situation again as we continue amnesia, a gift of the Spirit. Verse 9 says, By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. That's one scenario. That's one sight. That's one object on which he could have focused where he was. Then there was the other option. That which he could not see with his physical eyes, but he looked for a city which hath foundations. Abraham was physically located in Canaan, but his focus was elsewhere. He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The verse goes on, the passage goes on to say, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised, referring, of course, to Isaac. Therefore sprang they even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Now, verse 13 through 16 is the very heart of the message. Amnesia, a gift of the Spirit. These all died, how? In faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were what? Strangers and pilgrims where? On the earth. What is my confession as I walk this earth? What is your confession? They confessed. Now, confession can be verbal, or confession can be attitudinal. They confessed by their lives they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. What's your confession? This world is not my home, says my brother. Correct. What's your confession? That's his. They confessed. Meaning that those who observed their lives came away with the impression that these people were different from those who surrounded them. Because those who surrounded them, the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and all the other ites, they had a different lifestyle. But Abraham and his people, by the way they lived, they confessed. By the way you and I live, what do we confess? In other words, what do we profess? Verse 14. Verse 13 ends with, that there were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Verse 14 says, for they that say such things declare how? They that say what things? They that say what things? That there were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. Now, what is a stranger? Someone who doesn't belong. What is a sojourner? Someone passing through. Someone here temporarily. That is a stranger, someone who doesn't belong. The sojourner is temporary. The stranger does not belong. Now they confessed by word of mouth and by lifestyle. They confessed and they professed, we're passing through, we don't belong. Well, if you make that confession, verse 14 reveals that they that say such things also declare plainly, well, if you don't belong here, if you're just passing through, where are you going? We seek a country. Amnesia, a gift of the Spirit. Here comes the amnesia in verse 15. For truly, if they had been what? Mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. What does that mean? Abraham was ordered by God. But God gives orders he can't enforce when it comes to following him. There's a kind of order you choose to obey or you can ignore it. Abraham chose to obey. We are his children. I assume we all choose to obey. Somebody say amen. Amen. Abraham chose to obey. And he came out. We must assume that Isaac, having the same spiritual mind of his father, if the command had been issued to him, he would have come out too. So would Jacob. Same salvational line. For truly, if they had been mindful, where is your mind? Measure the hands of all those who were not born into a Seventh-day Adventist church. Can I see your hand? Or family. You were not born into the church. All right. Now, that's not a plus or minus. It is just the way it is. Nor was I. Let me see the hands of those of you who were in the world before the Lord brought you to the truth. Come on, let me see. All right. In the world. Okay. Here's a question I'm about to ask, but don't raise your hands. Are you mindful of the place out of which you came? For truly, if they had been mindful, do you miss what you came from? I saw dozens of hands, I heard two no's. Now you may say, well, of course not. You see, when you miss a place, you can't get back to it. Let me tell you an example, my own self. I love going to Africa. I go there and I evangelize to the best of my ability. And when I'm not there, I miss it badly. And so what do? When I'm at home, I take some time to study my Swahili. I brought two books with me in my room because it gets me back to the place that I love to be. I am mindful of that place. I go down to the local library and I rent tapes on Africa so I can immerse myself in the National Geographic specials on Africa. And I borrow them and I take them home and I watch them so that I can Africanize my mind. I am mindful. One of my trips, they gave me two outfits that men wear, call a kanzu. Looks like a petticoat. I was looking at them, and I folded them nicely, put them in the cupboard, waved to them, closed the door. I am mindful of that country. Whenever I bump into anyone from East Africa, Habari Yako, Habari Zako, Nzuri Sana. That's all I can say, but I say it. Why? Because I am mindful. Some of us, we dress in order to establish some kind of contact with the world out of which we came. Because we miss it. And so you look at us, and it's not Jesus that comes to mind. It is Bob Marley and the Wailers. We are still mindful of that world. You listen to our speech patterns, and we sound as though we're still at an MTV gathering. We are mindful of that world. You watch the things that occupy our recreational time, in quotation marks. You know, last night I went looking for a snack. Must confess, I did not develop a love affair with what was served. forgive me for my sins, but I just couldn't do it. I went looking for a snack, went to a restaurant somewhere around the corner. Televisions, I've never seen so many televisions in one place, not even at Circuit City. Televisions all over the place, each one flashing a different image. And people sitting there, that's their life, talking. Never seen glasses that tall. They look like small Eiffel Towers filled with liquid, and they were drinking, and that was the, and they were happy. And I said to myself, Lord, there are several hundred people who have gathered here just a few steps across that parking lot to discuss ways to evangelize. Here's another world altogether. Drinking, smoking, and getting gray hair because one team lost and another team won. And some of us miss that world. We need spiritual amnesia. Hebrews 11:15, for truly if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, in other words, Abraham did not waste his time pining over Mesopotamia, Ur of the Chaldees. He left it and he forgot it and his mind was not even on the place where he was. His mind was on the place where he was headed. So if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Where the mind is, the body, the feet will eventually follow. I believe Ellen White says that. Where the mind goes, the feet eventually follow. If your mind and my mind is still back in Ur of the Chaldees, it only takes the right precipitating event to take us back. We have to learn to forget where we came from. There are some roots we need to forget. You know, as a country, United States, we're big on genealogy. Especially since 20-something years ago when Roots came on television, everyone wants to trace his or her roots. There's some roots we should just forget. Because you know what roots do? They nourish the whole shebang. But now they seek a better country Verse 16, Hebrews 11. That is what? A heavenly. Now, what does the word seek mean? I was in San Diego earlier this year. I did a week of prayer, and a family took me to some naval base. Not a naval base, but to some high place so you can overlook the base. And we were just looking through some glasses at the planes taking off and all the military facilities. But now they seek a better country. Looking? No. To seek to put everything you have into the pursuit of something. And so Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he compares that or contrasts that with what the Gentiles seek, which is day-to-day living. And now they seek, they pursue, they are consumed by the prospect of living their lives in another country. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them, what? A city. I tell you, I love verse 15 so much, for truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, we must learn to forget. Got an email from a young lady in some East African country. I won't identify it. You may know who she is. She said, Pastor, I used to be involved with this young fellow, but things went bad, and I keep going back and looking at his pictures and the letters he wrote me. What should I do? Well, I didn't know how to say burn them in Swahili, so I said it in English. Burn them, get rid of them, send them back. Stop being mindful. We have to learn to cut things off. You listen to some music in Seventh-day Adventist churches, and you can see that we're still mindful of that country from whence we came out. You take out the words, and the music means nothing. You watch our worship styles, and you must conclude, if honesty compels you, that we are still mindful of that country from whence we came out. And what we do, we try to drag the country with us. Jesus said in that great high priestly prayer, John 17, verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of this world. Now it's one thing to be not of the world, even as Abraham was not of the world. The Bible says, this is Jesus himself praying, I have given them thy word, John 17, 14, and the world hath hated them. Why? Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, verse 15, but thou shouldst keep them from what? The evil. Verse 16, Christ repeats it, they are not of the world. Even as I am not of the world. In John 8, 23, Jesus said to those who were listening to him, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Now we always say of Christ, and there's some correctness to the claim, Christ mingled with people, yes. But he didn't commingle. Christ was oil and they were water, or Christ was water, they were oil. Yes, he was among them, but they did not contaminate him because he sought to transform them. Christ confessed, I am from above. You are from beneath. And he said that while he was standing on the physical earth. Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, Christ says, I am not of this world. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, for our conversation is where? In heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus, who shall change our vile bodies. We look to heaven for the coming of our Savior. We look to heaven for the power to live on this earth. We look to heaven for the mindset that guides us from day to day in this world. So if our conversation is in heaven, meaning our citizenship, our lifestyle, our thinking, that has to be reflected in every area of our lives. For truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. In Genesis chapter 19, which records the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, we have a sad and pitiful example of someone who was too mindful of that country out of which he came. The Bible says in Genesis 19, verse 24, "Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plains and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground." What does the next verse say? "But his wife did what? Looked back from behind him," and she did what? She looked back. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen gives a tremendous spirit-filled sermon. And in that sermon, he says that the Israelites in the wilderness, in their hearts, they went back to Egypt. No wonder that all the adults, save Caleb and Joshua, their carcasses were like dunghills of anathema in the wilderness, dead. In their hearts, they went back to Egypt. Now, you and I may be in the church every Sabbath, every Wednesday, every Sunday for board meeting, but based on what we read, what we listen to, how we spend our time, what we eat, the friends with which we associate most frequently, or the various things that occupy our times, based on an examination of that, we know if in our hearts we have gone back. And we have not yet enjoyed the indescribable blessing of spiritual amnesia. We must learn to forget that country from whence we came out. And that's my appeal, my message, my call. Let's ask the Spirit to give us amnesia. Because anyone who sets foot into that New Jerusalem will be those who were not mindful of that country from whence they came out. And it is of those, the Bible says, "Wherefore," verse 16, Hebrews 11, "God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." The devil has prepared for us this world. That's it. It's temporary. It is overflowing and brimful with pleasures, because that's all you will get, because right down the road a few years hence is destruction. God's city is to come. But while the physical city is to come, the spiritual principles that will operate in that city are to function now. What I'm saying is this. As impossible as it may sound, let me say it. We are required to live now as though we're already living in heaven. Ellen White says, I don't recall the precise location, our lives on earth, or our life on earth is the beginning of our life in heaven. I have it on my computer at home. Our life on earth, referring, of course, to the converted man and woman, is the beginning of our life in heaven, meaning that even on this earth, our lives must come to the place that they are a reflection of what it is to actually live in heaven. She wrote that for me and for you. Perhaps more for me than for you. Spiritual amnesia. How many of you want it? You don't know how happy you make me feel. Those of us who occupy pulpits and podiums and desks and get into people's faces, we're always asking people to make decisions, and it is a requirement. Well, not only us. Every advertisement you watch on television is an attempt to get you to make a decision, to spend your money a certain way. And I want you to know it works. You know it works. If it didn't work, the church would have more money for the gospel. Come on, say amen. It works. You know what Ellen White says? All the money required to finish the work is in the church. But God has not yet found a crowbar large enough to pry it out of the church, because it goes to Nordstrom's, the Sharper Image, and Kmart, Walmart, IBM. That's where it goes. But we must spend our money as if we are already living in heaven. I was telling you that we have to make all these calls, call you to make decisions, because it is pointless to stand and preach a sermon and let you walk out. I'll tell you what you'll do the moment you walk out. The last thing you'll talk about is the sermon you heard. And I've tried for years, and God knows I'm telling the truth. Father, what can I do? What's the psychological principle I miss that I can apply so that when members leave churches, the sermon is the point of discussion? Not based on the individual who delivered it, but on the fact that it was the Word of God. What can I do? Why is it that the moment you say amen, people almost breathe a sigh of relief? Let's discuss. How was your week? Haven't seen you in one. Let's discuss. Let's everything except the message. What that tells me is that we have lives that are very strictly compartmentalized. And what's in one compartment will not affect what's in the other. So you come to church and you do the preacher a favor by listening. When that sermon is done, you close that drawer. That is over. Now it's time to fellowship. And we fellowship. It really has concerned me. Spiritual beings love to talk about spiritual things. Are you listening to me? A truly converted person will be happy to sing hymns 7 days a week. I'm surprised you said amen, but I'm very pleased. A converted man or woman delights in singing hymns 7 days a week and does not feel deprived if he or she does not hear Beyoncé Knowles. A spiritual person will not buy a CD by who? Add her to your prayer list. Am I not talking the truth? Spiritual people crave spiritual things. And so in Colossians 3, reading from verse 1, Paul says, if ye then be risen with Christ, do what? Seek, pursue those things which are where? Above. Because who's above? Where Christ sitteth where? Right hand of the Father. Set your affections on things above. Let me ask you a question. Answer me, please. Do you think the music you hear on radio today will be played in heaven? No. Then, if our conversation is in heaven, why are we listening to it today? I realize I've digressed, but it's okay. Do you believe that all the nonsense you see on television, soap operas and all kinds of other operas with people sinning and then we're watching this thing, and do you think that will be flashed on screens in heaven? why do we enjoy them down here? No amnesia. Do you think there'll be professional teams in heaven breaking each other's legs? You think there'll be people paid $100 to run around and sweat? No. $100 million a year? Mm-hmm. My brothers and my sisters, there must be something so strange about our lifestyle that National Geographic comes to do a documentary. They have to record this on film. So we make calls 5 minutes to 7. Now, let me tell you very honestly, the call I'm about to make is not for everyone, and I don't want everyone to respond. I really don't. Because in no congregation is everyone sincere. No congregation. But I also confess there's an exception to every rule. Now, listen carefully to what I'm about to ask you. Do not raise your hand. Do not get up unless the Holy Spirit prompts you. It will not mean you're lost. And if you raise your hand, it doesn't mean you're saved. Here's my call. If you didn't sleep through the message, you heard it. You understand what I mean by amnesia, a gift of the Spirit. You seek no more to be mindful of that world out of which you came. You want to live a life characterized by a seeking. You want to profess, Hebrews 11:14, that I'm a stranger and a pilgrim. You want to make that confession by every aspect of your life. I am not of this world. If you want to make that commitment now, if you want to make that commitment now, Jesus, as you were not of this world, I want to turn my back on the world. I want you to raise your right hand. If you raise your right hand seriously, I want you to stand up. Hands down. One of the call and we let you go. I know there are people listening who didn't like what I said. I know that. I can almost come and put my hand on your shoulder because it was on your face. You didn't like it. I also know there are those who are saying in their hearts now, I really, really have had a struggle forgetting. Because the world keeps making a pleasant noise that draws me back like a siren. Draws me back. But I need special prayer. If you're one of those who need very special prayer, you don't mind being gutsy this morning, I want you to raise your right hand. All right. Hands down. One more call. Very unusual, but I'll make it. Is there anyone here resisting the conviction of the Holy Spirit? You're fighting God. You've got a heart like the walls of Jericho. They need to be broken down. Anyone like that, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. You're fighting God, and you know it. God bless you. Come. Come, come, come. Come right here, if this can hold your weight, come. You're fighting God and you know it. Right where you are, you're fighting God. You come. Got heart made of iron and stone. Come, sister, right up here. Someone else. We're going to be 5 minutes late for breakfast. Come, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, my good brother. God bless you. God bless you, sister. Fighting God. no outward activity, but fighting God furiously. Resist, because the world is so attractive. We just don't want to let it go. You're fighting. Just come. God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you. Someone else. Fighting God doesn't make you an enemy. God is never an enemy of anyone. God bless you, my good brother. God bless you. God bless you, sister. And the three words, God bless you, is really a prayer I say with my eyes open. God bless you. Come. Someone else. Fighting God desperately. You're telling him, I'm not moving. I love the world. I don't want to let it go yet when I'm a little older. You come. Sister, God bless you. My friends will laugh at me. I can't do that. You come. God bless you. God bless you. Someone else needs to come. If I knew what your name was, I'd call it out. Someone else needs to come. God bless you, my good brother. God bless you. God bless you. Why spend all this money to come here just for vacation? That's not why we're here. It really isn't. If God can get a few committed people, it's amazing what he'll do with the whole world. God bless you. Anyone else? God bless my sister to my right. God bless you, sister. Those of you standing, you heard the preacher last night. You're not an audience, you're a congregation, so you should be praying in your hearts. Because there's still some hard hearts that have said, I'm not moving. Their teeth are clenched, knees are weak, there are butterflies in the stomach, but they're not moving, and they should come. Who's that person? Who are those persons? Just come, quietly, quickly. Then we'll pray. God can transform the heart in a flash. He really can. God bless you. God bless you, my good brother. God bless you. God bless you, sister. Anyone else? God bless you, my good brother. God bless you. God bless you. Who am I missing? God bless you, sister. God bless you. God bless you. God bless my brother. If you'll come quickly, I can pray. We can leave. Someone else come? You're holding up the service by not coming. You really are. Who else? Why won't you come? What keeps you in your seat? Anyone else? I'll give you 1 minute. I won't say anything. And as that minute ends, I'll pray. 1 minute, we'll be quiet. I want you praying. The minute begins now. Come. You're fighting God. You want to give up the fight. You just come. Let's pray. Our loving Father in heaven, we come into your presence this morning. Lord, we come to confess that we have not been forgetful of that place from which we came, as our father Abraham was forgetful. Father, we've been distracted by the attractions of the life which we said we have left, and which we still find so fascinating, and which still affects every department of our lives, how we eat, how we dress, how we talk, how we spend our time, our money. All of these areas, Father, are still contaminated by the world. And because of this, Lord, we confuse those who need a clear picture of what a child of God is like. We confuse them, and by confusing them, we may endanger their very salvation. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus, forgive us. Forgive us for having one foot in heaven and the other foot in the world. Forgive us for our hesitancy, for our going back and forth. Forgive us, Lord, for the crises we cause you. Lord, those for whom you've given your life through Jesus Christ, they have come to say, Father, yes, I have been fighting, but somewhere in me is an honest desire to be entirely Christ's and no part of me belonging to the world. And so, Father, we come and we present these decisions to you. Lord, you have said, where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. If this is true, Lord, demonstrate the superiority of your grace over the ravages of sin and break down the opposition in our hearts and put in us, Father, in fulfillment of the very first promise in Scripture, put an enmity in our hearts for the world. Give us a love, dear God, for spiritual things. Give us a love, a passion, yea, an addiction to the things of the Spirit, that we may always search every day, Lord. We will seek a spiritual fix, as it were. Oh, Father, bring us to the place where we can say, I am not of this world. And for that one person who fought to the end and did not come, and the person can hear my voice, have mercy on her, have mercy on him. All is not lost. Give that person no rest, Father. If you need to put the person flat on his or her back on a sick bed, you do it that the person may look up. Deprive him or her of the comforts of this life that the person may feel a need for you. Do what is necessary to save. Father, let all the proceedings of this day bring honor and glory to your name. Thank you for the conviction of your word. Save us when you come. And for those who are standing behind and around me who answer the call in a very special way, Father, give them extra power that they may leave this place, this weekend of activities, changed. 100% opposed to the world, 100% spiritual beings. We offer this prayer in Jesus' name, and for his sake, let all God's people say, amen and amen. You may return to your seats. God bless you. Let us sing softly, God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good, he's so good to me.